Good morning, you guys. Afternoon and evening for some. I am Dr. J, and welcome to the Strategic Ladies Radio Show. We are airing live, and it is Thursday. Woohoo! Almost the weekend. So, you guys, on the Strategic Ladies Show, we're always about sharing useful information on building better relationships with, of course, a generational perspective. You can check us out and our airtimes on strategicladies.com.
Hello, everyone, and I'm Dr. E, and welcome again. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our Mindful Media Journal and our podcast. You can find us on at strategicladies.com, or at Strategic Ladies, rather, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Our focus is on keeping the mind, body, and spirit aligned, and you can find out more about this on our website and our social platforms. So, hello, Jacinta, my daughter. How are you feeling, my queen, my
oh, wow.
Beautiful daughter? You know, I admire my daughter even more every time I go visit her and see all that she's juggling with her wonderful family and her four kids. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can do it. I mean, I just admire you so much. Just let me know. It's like, this is my time to be really thankful and grateful. And I'm grateful for you. And I'm grateful that you are holding up the fort as well as you do. So it's not easy.
You know what? Thanks, Mom. That feels really nice to hear, because it's funny how I always appreciated you as a parent anyway, because you did everything on your own and you worked so hard. So it's just funny, like, you know, everything that I do now, I'm like, wow, Mom had to do this on her own. So, you know, I feel the same thing with you. But I'm not going to lie. Sometimes it is intense, because there's so many different personalities, that I deal with on a regular.
It totally is. So, with that, how are you feeling?
right now? Right now, I'm feeling a lot better. I was sick earlier this week. So, you know, the sad thing is that before we would always just be like, oh, it's a cold. But now we are already, well, especially me, I'm assuming, because we've had COVID before, that, oh, my God, is this COVID? But it's just a cold that I feel so much better. I feel blessed to be healthy and happy, and everybody's happy now. So I'm feeling good. You know, it's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. It's almost Thanksgiving, which means we have no excuse, or just an excuse, to eat a lot of stuff. So I'm doing good. How about you, Dr. or Mom?
You know, I'm doing really well as well. I just got off a cold. I mean, it runs in the family, it goes through the family, and I had it first, and It was not fun. It really was a bad cold. But I'm getting my voice back. I'm getting my energy back. So I feel really good today. And I got to see my family, because I was isolated myself, because you never know what it is. And I did test, but you never know. So I just, and plus, you don't want to even give your kids, family, a cold, right? So I kind of isolated myself. I got to see them today. And it was really wonderful to see you guys and hang out with you. But then I left thinking, man, you know, my house is really quiet.
Wait, trade. No, just kidding.
You know,
trade.
Well, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, it's too quiet in here, and I'll turn on music. And I always turn on music, but sometimes I like silence.
Don't even say that it's too quiet in here.
But I just got back, you know, because we had to do the show, and I'm like, oh my God, it's like, okay, even the tree. I mean, Jay has her tree all decorated pretty. I have my tree just sitting up, and she's got four kids and a husband. My tree's sitting up here, like looking so empty. And I'm like, it's a beautiful tree with no decorations.
Well, I'm obsessed with Christmas though. Like, it's probably like a sickness because like, I'm like, oh, it's almost Christmas.
I know. But like, Stella's like, come on, Stella, get your behind together and get in here. This is our holiday, right? This is where we celebrate, you know, Christ's birth, and we celebrate, you know, peace on earth. And no matter what religion or foundation you are, we love you. And it's just, you know, it's just that time of year. So it's my favorite time. But I'm like, my part of what decorating the tree, and it needs some work. So anyway, I'm doing good.
Well, come help, Mom.
Please come. Well, I can see that now with the four kids helping. Two, I can see. The other two.
I'll leave the boys over to help.
Okay. So we're excited today because we have a really good artist coming on board, and he is smooth and soulful, majestic tones. He's going to share with us. We're going to hear a little bit of his music.
Right.
And we're excited to have him on Art in the Air as screen, and he'll be on in a little bit. So I was just going to talk about a little bit about, Jay, we had talked about, some of
the tips on avoiding holiday dating disasters. Did you see that?
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Dr. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I was just interesting to talk about tips on avoiding holiday disasters. I was just watching the movie Skipping Christmas. And I read the book years ago, and I had a book club this today. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, sometimes holiday disasters make you want to skip the next Christmas or skip the one you're already in. Mm-hmm. And what are some of the things, I mean, you know, we're into relationships, and, you know, relationships goes beyond couples, you know, it goes family relationships, children relationships during the holidays. It's a tough time, if you'd agree with me, Jay.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, there was that article that I was telling you about that I found on Love Quotes, and it was talking about some of the things that are dating disasters that you can avoid things. And there's some, like, it says it's okay if you're single, don't fret. That's like something people are so worried about sometimes, having a date during the holidays. And I mean, let me think back, did that ever bother you that you didn't have a date during the holidays?
I have to be honest with you, it bothers me even now.
Really?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. Not necessarily a date, but someone to share the holidays with. I guess because I'm so, that's when I become this romantic person. That's when I love to watch the Christmas movies with dating and falling in love. And, now I will say that, I think that happens when you're ready for a relationship. I've been at Christmas where it hasn't bothered me, but I think, it happens when you're ready for a relationship. But to your point, I think that there's so much joy around it. I think one of the things that the holidays make us do is feel like we have to have a relationship too.
Yeah. And that's what it seems like they were saying in this article, that sometimes we feel like, you know, it's a faux pas to be single. And I guess our society sometimes used to promote that. Now it's kind of like, I think it empowers singles a little bit more than it used to.
Totally agree.
And I think that's a good thing, because I think that a lot of the reason why relationships don't last is because we're forcing it to become a relationship, because everybody wants that happily ever after.
And yes, and that's another false reality. You know, it's not, you know, it's, yeah, but I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Well, Dr. E, we have to take a quick break because we are going to have our amazing guest, Sean, on, and we're going to talk about his music, you guys. So stay tuned. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back on our topic about 7 tips to avoid dating disasters, as well as talking to Mr. Green about his music. You can call in at 310-928-7733. Again, that's 310-928-7733. We'll be back in a moment. Strategic Lady Show.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
And we have S. Green, and we just heard his song, which was amazing. Let me tell you guys a little bit about S. Green, and I think we may have lost Dr. E. But you know what, Ashley?
Yeah, so okay. I didn't know we'd gotten back on, but thank you guys for being patient. Dr. S. Green is a native of Jackson, Mississippi. He advocates the essence of classical rhythm and blues, and he sets it against a modern tone. And his song that we just played was amazing. We had a conversation at the same time the music was playing, but I was totally enjoying the vibes in the background. He's an R&B artist, and we're so excited to have him on the show. He's also a fellow doctorate like us. He's finished his doctorate, and we can relate to that. So, S. Green, tell me a little bit more about what I've left out, because there's so much on your bio. You began at 13. You've done so much. So could you just share a little bit about your bio?
Sure. I'd be glad to. But first off, just again, thank you all for just having me on the show. I really am just excited to be on this platform. So thank you. So I've been singing for a long time, and just have had some really awesome experiences from high school until now at this point. You know, I was able to study the classical music, you know, being in a concert choir, an award-winning concert choir. And that was really the platform that catapulted me into singing as a solo artist, because I was tapped on the shoulder to sing solos and things of that nature. And so from high school to college, I always was singing at different platforms, different venues. I've had some really awesome opportunities where I've sang at some really great opening acts and things of that nature. Just singing has always been a part of who I am. I've grown up listening to R&B, dating back from the 60s on to now. In particular, old school R&B has been my favorite to listen to. But it's always been a part of me, no matter how much I do other things in life, and I have, because I pretty much have lived a normal life, going, like you said, all the way up to getting my PhD, and working in higher education, and now working in the life coaching space, music has always just stuck around. And to be honest, I'm just at a point in life where I'm wanting to just do the type of music that I want to do, and just to have other people such as yourselves just embrace it and just relate to it, you know, because I think the things that I have to sing about are completely relatable as it relates to love and relationships.
You have so many things that I want to ask you about in that intro, and thank you for that. You said that you started at a young age, and you said that you an award triggered your getting started. Tell us a little bit about how that happened. You won an award to the Callaway, I think, Men's Quartet. Is that the one? That's
Tell us about. Sure. So I was a late bloomer as it relates to getting in that choir, because actually when they had tryouts for the choir, I wasn't really sure that I should join, but I had a best friend who tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, you should definitely audition for it." And so I joined the choir probably 3 weeks after ninth grade started. And from that point on, The choir teacher had an eye on me to really develop more. And so there were solo availabilities throughout the year. And throughout my time there, I was always selected to lead up solos that involved a tenor or just a male vocalist. And even when we had like homecoming events and all these different assemblies during high school, she would always slate for me to sing the solos. And we were also forming the quartet that we had every year, and we would win superior ratings every year. And in this particular instance, we went to a competition that was based in Virginia. And the solo that I was led to sing won an award for best soloist. So that was kind of the solidifying factor for me that I really needed to continue to do more in the solo capacity as a singer. And I'll be honest, I think about that often, because if I wasn't given that platform to do that, I kind of wonder where I would be as a singer. Would I still have that confidence that I needed at that time to really go forth on music or not? I sometimes think about it, but I will say that was definitely one of the moments in my life that really solidified my call to be a singer.
Wow, that's great.
Oh, wow. So, like, looking back on, you know, because like yourself, I love music. I'm definitely love that as well. And I was looking how, so I see that you worked on your doctorate. So did you go away for a bit, and or have you always been focused on eventually wanting to get your music out there? What really made that passion come out now? Tell me like how that's.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so right. I mean, I think we all know that the music business can be pretty brutal. And, you know, especially as an independent artist, it's doubly difficult because, you know, you don't have the marketing machine behind you pounding out who you are and getting your music to the masses as you should. So there was a time where I had kind of just stepped away from doing the music. I was performing around different venues. I would travel to different locations, Memphis in particular. I had a band that I was doing some work with up there. And, just really staying busy, singing at weddings and all types of functions. But I just wasn't getting the exposure that I wanted, and I wasn't getting the attention that I felt like I should have been getting. So I did take a break. I only focused on just working and singing in my church choir. Now, singing in the church choir has always been a constant stay for me. So even when I would step away from the music as it relates to singing with bands and different performances like that, singing in the choir, the church choir, has always remained in me. So during that break, especially during the time in which I was working on my PhD, which was from 2012 to 2015, I just really stood back from doing anything related to my music. It was mostly just focusing on work and singing in my church choir. Now, even in my church choir, I would lead songs, and you know, I would have people saying, "Oh, well, are you still doing your music? Are you still singing? Are you still performing on weekends?" And you know, I just would just tell them, you know, I'm just kind of taking a break for right now. Just wanted to kind of keep my focus on working and just keeping my spiritual background focused. And it really wasn't until, I'd say, 2018 that shift kind of changed for me. I started to get the bug, because the bug always comes back to you to start singing and start doing more. Yeah, and I think around that time is when I was meeting more people that were doing music, and it seems as though R&B music had changed so much that what I liked had kind of changed, you know? And I think as of the beginning of the pandemic, that's what really just said, okay, it's time to get back out and to do things that, you know, people want to hear again, because we were all at home, you know, we were all just kind of stuck in our thoughts and things. And so that was the time that I spent to just kind of formulate some ideas of some songs and things that I wanted to start performing and start writing again. So I would definitely say that those downtimes helped me really regain my focus as it relates to a being a singer and a songwriter. But it took those times for me to get to where I am right now.
So I wanted to ask you had mentioned that that you started, you know, the choir was always a part of you. And I noticed that some of the people that you inspired your music, like Luther, Stevie, Smokey, Aretha, big in the church, right? I love her, you know, Pamela Bell, all these people, a lot of them, Babyface, you know, all of them had, inspired the church. So did that cause you to have, was that transition from church, and you said you always had dabbled in it, but was that transition easy for you to go into R&B, or did you kind of, is that a part that inspires you your music?
Well, I think singing in the church and then, you know, singing R&B, it wasn't a hard transition for me because I just looked at both of them using my talents that God gave me, you know, even in the church, even, you know, we're singing praises to God, but we're using a voice that he gave us. So even in singing in R&B, I feel like I'm still having that spiritual sense because I'm using something that he gave me. So it wasn't a hard transition for me to get into that space. I think if anything, singing in the church inspired me more to use my voice in other platforms, because I think the beauty about music is that you can touch so many people's lives in different ways. And even in the song that you all just played, which I thank you for playing, there it goes. There have been so many people who have reached out to me and just said, man, just thank you so much for writing this song. Like I have experienced this and I have been in some down places because I felt like I was the only person that dealt with this. And, you know, I feel like.
Yeah, you're about that. Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I think that's just the beauty of music. You know, we're able to speak to so many people in so many different ways. I think that's what God wants us to do with our talents. He wants for us to use them in ways that reaches people in different ways. And so you don't necessarily have to be in the church or singing gospel to do that.
I agree. And you were saying something earlier about how the pandemic happened, and and my mom or Dr. E brought up a good point that, you know, and yourself, the music has changed from the Arethas and the Stevies and mm-hmm. the, you know, that, you know, everything's good, right? It's different. It's not bad. It's just different. It's not, but I know in the past, even when I was younger, there was like, Boyz II Men and things of that mm-hmm. were like, you know, mm-hmm. And I was really young, but I still remember hearing like slower songs. So it was kind of refreshing hearing that, because it brings back the love. Do you feel like, and you said that people have contacted you, but do you feel that now there's a time for a change in music? Do you think that, you know, being out there now and putting out your music, do you see that it's going to be more receptive to the younger people because of some of the things they're going through, like the struggles of the pandemic?
I do. I think a change is well suited for where we are right now, especially, you know, music that is meaningful and impactful. I think it is going to be heavily embraced. And I think this pandemic has definitely brought that out even more. I think what we have experienced, it's just, we're in a place now where we are wanting some real life doses that people can gravitate to and get something from. People need to be encouraged. People need to know that, you know, what you experience, you're not alone in experiencing. And the vehicle of music can just allow for all those things to take place. But I think had it not been for the pandemic, that, you know, we may not have been in the same place. We could possibly be, you know, we're in a place where people don't feel like as though they need that. But I think the pandemic has come at such a strategic time that we are able to really embrace all the changes that are, you know, needed at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting how you take a tragic thing, and I think the pandemic has been tragic for a lot of people, and actually bring out the good in it. And I think that's what your music and other musicians' music and talents have done. People have had a lot of alone time, right? Separation of homes. And I think this pandemic has really opened up a whole world of, okay, I need to enjoy the music and enjoy the messages in music and embrace it. So I totally agree with you. I see very much how that can change things. So you play music as well, right?
So no, I actually just sing and I write songs. Those are my strengths there. I did play the baritone in high school, but that was years ago. But no, I'm just a singer songwriter.
I say I did my one recital on piano and that was it. But yeah, So as far as your art, I know you said you were inspired by a lot of things, but during the pandemic, it's hard to be inspired and stay, you know, we all go through it, right? It's like some downtime and it's like you see, read about things, hear it on the news, and you get kind of, you know, spun out a little bit. How do you keep that creativity flowing?
I think talking to people and meeting new people, connecting with people, talking to them about their experiences really helps to get a different glimpse of people. And in the album that I'm hoping to release sometime very soon, I was able to grasp so much from people to get an idea of what they're dealing with as it relates to love and relationships. That's what keeps you grounded to know what's going on out here. For example, the song "There It Goes" is based on me being ghosted, and you know the term "ghosted" wasn't really popular until maybe a few years ago. But you know, so many people have experienced being ghosted, and it's not just women who get ghosted. I mean, men get ghosted too. But it was actually just having conversations with some friends and some people that, you know, kind of spoke to how they felt, you know, in being ghosted, or, you know, how it felt, you know, seeing them again or not seeing them again, having that answer question of why they left or why they didn't leave, or, you know, just figuring all those things out. But it took just, you know, talking to people and just kind of connecting with other people to kind of stay in the know of what people are really experiencing, because you want to have a real life lyrics speak to people so that it can resonate the most.
Great.
And you led me right into my next question, because I wondered, you know, you're writing a lot of, you know, your music, like you said, it touches base with a lot of things that you've experienced and what your, I guess your fan base as well has experienced and friends. What do you see as yourself in the next few years as an artist? What are your goals for your music? Like, what are some of the goals that you plan to spread amongst people with your music?
Oh, such a good question. I really want for people to just get back to the basics of meaningful lyrics and embracing real music that's coming from a place of sincerity and honesty. Not filled with gimmicks, not filled with, you know, beats and things that are just catchy, things that are just in the now. I want things. Right. I want for my music to transform and still be relevant and things that are relevant in this point in time. Like, I feel like if I can go back and look at Luther Vandross's catalog, I don't think there's a song that Luther wrote or sang that people still can't gravitate to right now. That would be my hope. What would be that the music that I produce and I send out to the masses, I want for them to look back on it and to be able to relate to it from years to come, because it's so real, it's so sincere, so honest that, you know, it's something that they can always listen to and it'll always be around. So that's going to be my hope. And just, of course, transform it to or translate it to a larger population of people. Because, I mean, I think, again, like I've been saying, music is so universal. It can speak to so many people. I want it to speak to as many people as possible and reach those ears of people who need to hear about, you know, love and relationships, the ups and downs of it, and just be inspired by it.
Yeah, good. I have a question for you too, Screen. How the business is different now. You know, you dabbled in it earlier, and now you're really putting your full time efforts into it. How are you doing it with the new way of doing business? Before you had labels, before you, now you're doing things a lot on your own. How are you embracing that change? And how do you see? And also, the pandemic has opened up a whole other can of worms of how you get your music out there. You're not performing, because a lot of artists made money by performing. So how is an artist like yourself, like, really trying to get things going?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it is definitely different. you really have to rely on social media, and you really have to rely on just people spreading the word about your music, and just constantly doing that. It's almost like working 24/7. You have to do the daytime job, do the responsibilities, but right after that, you got to suit up and do what's needed for the music business, because there's so many parts to it. But definitely social media. I don't think many artists would be able to survive these days if they didn't have social media, because it's a medium that we have, a platform that we have that's free, and it speaks to so many people, and it has the potential to spread so many lives. So definitely just the addition of social media, it definitely helps. It definitely creates a space where people can know and get to know who you are and learn about your music. The performing part, you know, there are some venues that are starting to open up a little bit more. I'm a little cautious about it myself, just with everything being what it is. But I know for a fact that when things get back on track, that's going to be my next go-to. But I think just doing live things on social media, just, you know, making yourself known and just getting out there, getting on all social media platforms and just, you know, right, making your presence known. That's probably the best thing that most people can do these days, since yeah, performing everywhere is just such a, you know, such a taboo thing right now.
It's so funny to say that, because it's the things of social media has really changed, in my opinion, just talking to people in music on a regular, the way music is actually released, the way people look at who they're going to sign, everything goes back to social media now. And like yourself, there's so many now independent artists, and, you know, they have really strong fan bases. So it's definitely a new age. Do you feel now, like looking at your past of your career in music and how you're flourishing now, do you feel like you have a better reach now than you did in the past as an independent artist?
I do feel that way. I think in the earlier times in which I, you know, had pursued music, it was very easy to get muddied in the realm of things. I think now, with the avenues being much more independent music friendly, I think things such as podcasts and interviews and independent radio stations, I think there are more structures, more foundations in place that give the space to independent artists to get the exposure that's needed. Even 10 years ago, that wasn't a thing. That wasn't like popular. But now this is like a very safe place to get that exposure that I'm very appreciative of. Because, I mean, you know, let's face it, it's really hard to get that exposure. So I think that it's much easier to get that exposure as an independent artist than it ever has been, especially during the time in which I have tried to pursue music, for sure, 100%.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think creativity and just really perseverance and being on that social media is so important. And it's making sure you pull it through there. It is. So I noticed that you are an Alpha Kappa Alpha. So,
okay. Oh, well,
wait, Alpha Kappa.
Alpha Phi Alpha. Alpha Phi Alpha.
Alpha Phi Alpha. I was an Alpha Angel. So it's funny that
you. Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, a long time ago. So you're nice sorority guys, so that's good. And I noticed you were also in Black Voices in the NSU. Are you still, do you do anything with that anymore at Black Voices?
Yeah. So they are a college-based gospel choir, but I believe they are trying to have an alumni performance whenever they have alumni functions. I'm not sure if that had made it just yet to the table, but I do still sing with my church choir.
Okay.
But that's the only affiliation that I still do have with singing gospel. But I'm I'm very, very much an advocate for singing in that choir because it is an amazing, anointed choir that has brought me a lot of joy. And yes, being a member of Alpha Phi Alpha has been a tremendous experience for almost, let's see, almost 20 years at this point.
Well, so I say that to say because I know, you know, I have a lot of Greeks in my family. We're all kind of different Greeks. My mom was Zeta, my dad was a Q, and my brothers were Kappas. But I do know that's also a really good network of getting your music out there because it's so large, and I'm sure you've tapped into that, but that's also, you know, it's all about marketing our product a little differently. So is there anything else you want to tell us?
Before he goes, I want to find out in the next few years, what do you plan? Like, what is on the horizon for you?
I would love to, get to a space where I am at least acknowledged by the R&B community, embraced by the music community, tapped on the shoulder to sing at different venues. One thing in particular is the NAACP Image Awards. I would love to sing there. And I would love to, of course, sing at the Grammys. That's always been a huge goal of mine. But I just want to be in a space where I'm acknowledged to even be considered for any of those avenues.
Right.
So that's what I see myself doing. I see myself writing for other artists because, like I said, I am a songwriter. I have so many experiences in this head that I've written down and, you know, captured. They may not be songs for me. They may be for somebody else, but I want to get in that space where I can have those conversations with others to, you know, ship them a song that, you know, fits for what they're trying to do for their project. So
it was a beautiful song you played. So I'm sure you'll be able to do that. And we'll keep you in your prayers because I think you're very talented. You've got, you know, a lot going for you. And I'd love to see, you know, your music and your creativity shared.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate it.
So tell us.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, share with some of the social media and places where people can find you can hear about the music and what's going on. Yeah.
Absolutely. I first want to plug the video to There It Goes. It's available on YouTube, and you just type in S.Green, There It Goes, and it's up. It's a beautiful project. It was great just filming it and just putting – the lyrics and the song itself to video was just an amazing experience. So please check that out. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on TikTok. You type in S.Green and you will see all my information, but I'm everywhere. Reverb Nation, anywhere that you can think of, you type in S.Green and you will find me.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again for being on the show. We'll definitely promote you on our platforms and try to get your name out there and more than it already is. And then we'll just look for you next year on the Grammys.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm looking forward to that. We just spoke into existence.
It could happen. Fascinating. So, yes, but definitely keep in touch. And We'd love to have you on again. So we just hear your new music and you can update us on the Grammys and everything else that comes up.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
We get that interview right after you get the Grammys.
Oh, for sure. You got it.
All right, Esker.
Well, you're here, folks. All right.
Thank you.
Esker, nice to talk to you. Thank you for coming on.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Well, that was cool. I mean, I love his song. And you know what? It's always nice to hear when people want to bring the love back into music because I feel like definitely missing. You know, I mean, it's such an empowering time, like for women, I get it, but I do miss hearing the love and how people are passionate you know, without, you know, like without saying their passion, but being passionate in their music. You know what I'm talking about, Mo?
Leave something to the imagination. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think that it's important, this love thing, because right now we're in a world of so much offense. People want offense and hate. And I think bringing love back just, you know, puts it in your spirit, you know, and what better way to do that with music? You know, it's just it's amazing force. Yeah. I liked him too. He was sounds like a sweet guy, you know. He's got the good background and as a high school in the choir. I always think choirs are a great background to make a good artist.
Like a lot of the people we talk to have that background. It's like a lot of people start in the choirs in their church. Across the board, it seems like a lot of people start in their choirs and mm-hmm. we've been. A lot of the artists, it's been a lucky thing that they've had a lot of support from their families and friends, which is nice to hear, right?
Yeah, and I love the way he says that during the pandemic, you know, that you know, his music has been a positive force to people, and people have been inspired by that because people really need that now. And, you know, also that has kept him inspired, right? I think mm-hmm. that's a good thing, too. I forgot to ask him one question, though, on his tips during the holiday.
I know. Well, you know what we could do is after listening to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at those love quotes and love tips.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that S. Green mentioned that we would find that would fit into these tips that we see that you shouldn't do? So I'm going to look at these really fast, and there's one that says...
Yeah, read them off to me, and I can comment.
Okay, here we go. So here's one. It says, okay, so here's the 7 tips to avoid during holiday disasters for love, okay? So during dating. So it says, it's okay if you're single, and that was basically talking about how, you know, you're better off single rather than rushing and being depressed and miserable and forcing things. Okay, so that's one.
Okay, so let me comment on that one. I think for S. Green, his solution to that, I think, would be listen to his music. Because even though you have a romantic music and you may not be involved with someone, it makes you feel good.
Right.
So that would help the soul, right? It would help a person during that time.
And, you know, you brought up a good thing, Dr. E, because sometimes even if you've gone through a breakup during the holidays, because I've been single before during holidays, and it's bad. Sometimes good music will bring you back to a time where you were happy.
Yes. You know,
so it's kind of like it doesn't make you necessarily forget, but it's kind of warms over the pain.
It's kind of a 360-degree solution to things, because it's you know, you always go back and you go to past, present, future, and you know, I know people say don't look back into the past, but sometimes there's some learnings that you have in the past that are good to remember. And I think, I think his music would do that. And one other thing, he talked about bringing the old back to the new. And I think this is important too during that situation.
Well, you know, it's funny. Okay, so he was talking about being ghosted, and ghosted's like when people...
Okay, I was like, ghosted means you're being fired, right?
Not like, you know, like being ignored. Like if something, like for example, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, so for example, so like this one says, don't fret if you don't get replies. Holidays are a busy time, so if somebody doesn't instantly reply to your texts or calls, don't be crazy and checking your phone every 2 minutes. Be patient. So I'll let you answer and then I'll say what I think.
And read that again, because to me, ghosting is someone cuts you off from communication without any explanation, right? So in this article says what now? It says...
So ghosting, this one says, don't fret if you don't get reply. So they're saying like, mm-hmm. yeah, if you're texting and stuff and they're not writing back, it's like somebody kind of you know, they end communication with you, ghosting. So this one says, don't freak out if somebody does that to you. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think, okay, here's the thing. If they, it's hard to say not to freak out, right? That's kind of like saying, you talk to someone all the time and you say, don't freak out, and then they disappear. I was like, with the world nowadays, I'd be like, is they okay?
And also, to me, in my opinion, I may be wrong, but a person that's really interested, and unless you're sending like a text a second or text a minute, a guy should want to write you back within the day, like if he's interested, unless like he's like with family, like really dire. I just think it's weird if they're like totally ignoring you the whole holiday. That's kind of, to me, a red flag.
And to me, at any change in a pattern that you're used to means something. It can mean something good or it can mean something bad. But if you don't communicate what that means, then there's a problem.
And another thing he brought up, I thought was the truth, is like a lot of times women, and I'm saying this as a woman, so women don't get mad at me, but we tend to think it's always us that are getting ghosted. Like he said, he's been ghosted. I mean, there's, you know, not relationships are two-way, and it's not gender specific in how people will treat you.
No, it's people not. And that's a really good point, Jay, because we do have a tendency to think from our perspective and not others' perspectives. And men are just as hurt as women, can be just as hurt as women and be just as ghosted as we can. So, yeah.
And there's one more, and before we, because we're getting close to time. So it says, share gifts and sweets. If you dated someone for quite some time, it surely deserved to give them a nice gift for you. Don't give them a gift with expectations of receiving one. You might get disappointed. Ladies, don't buy a man a Rolex watch because he may have just gotten you chocolates.
First of all, here's my thoughts on that. I wouldn't be in a relationship where someone wouldn't be thoughtful enough to give me something.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be thoughtful enough to give them, because that's, I believe in, you know, I want someone that's giving and I'm giving. So I would look at it differently if they didn't.
And I think it also depends on the amount of time dating. I mean, there's a lot of factors into this, because this is just, I mean, good article, but there's a lot of time factors into things. If you've just been dating a week, you can't really expect anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sweet if they do, but it's like, you know, you shouldn't expect anything intense. But if it's been like, you know, 6 months or a year and they're like, oops, then, you know, maybe a presence may not be important to you. That's something that you both decided. But it just depends on the relationship and the time.
Yeah, I think giving things doesn't necessarily mean also, you know, expensive things. It's just, a box with a message in it. I mean, just something you could, some of the things that I really love are little things that, okay, a good example, and we have to hurry up and close, but that bracelet you got me was very inexpensive, right? But it was, I love it. And I got another one because I didn't want to lose what I got. You know,
I get it.
You have to know who you're dating and know who you're with, so you know to give them the special gift.
Right. Agree. Well, you guys, thank you so much for listening today. We had our talented artist and singer-songwriter, S Green, on, which thank you so much, S Green, for being on. We appreciate you and loved your music. You guys, you can always reach out to us on Write, WRITE, the number 2 at strategicladies.com, and on all of our social media platforms.
Yeah, we're looking forward to hearing some posts. Get on there and chat with us, and see you on the next call.
Bye, you guys. Have a good night.
Bye.
lay.